And good morning, America. And good morning to all of our troops overseas who are defending this country. Good morning to my veteran brothers and sisters. Welcome home. Good morning to America and Australia and New Zealand and Tasmania. Glad you're with us. My name is Gary Lilly, CB, July 1966. And we're getting a little feedback in here, Dale. I'm listening to a news broadcast over my microphone, so hopefully the rest of the world is not hearing that. We've got a good show lined up. We've got the Yankee Air Museum. We've got the Chrysler Jeep Superstores Thunder Over Michigan Air Show going on right now. And at this moment, we're going to go to Bob Gould out at the Yankee Air Museum. Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I am, Gary and Dale. I'm out here in the beautiful sunshine in Ypsilanti, Michigan at Willow Run Airport, the beginning of Thunder Over Michigan, and boy, is it exciting. The weather is absolutely gorgeous right here, clear blue skies, and to talk a little bit more about today's day, I'd like to introduce you to Andy Thompson, one of the volunteers here at the Yankee Air Museum. Andy, why don't you tell us a little bit about today?
Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Andy Thompson, and yes, as Bob said, I'm out here at the air show. I'm right behind Hangar 2, looking way out across blue skies and sunny at the static displays way on the other side of the airfield, and it is beautiful out here, and the gates officially open right now at 9 o'clock, so now's the time to get going out here. Just so you know, tickets at the gate are $25, and 15 and under is free, so that's a great deal for bringing your kids. Bring them all. They have a great time out here. And just so you know, everything's going on. We've got planes flying. First thing that's going to kick off at 10 o'clock is going to be a World War II battle reenactment with over 300 people and probably about 25 armored vehicles, which is going to be about the most exciting thing. And in case you can't get here right away, they are going to re-show that at about 2:30 in the afternoon, assuming everything gets on schedule. So, lots and lots going on out here, people. The weather couldn't be better. I am looking at blue skies, and it's just about 70 degrees. And if you were here last year, you knew it was 100. This year, mid-70s, it does not get any better. And one more thing for people that want to come through the gate, they do have for an additional $40, and this is quite a deal, they have a Flightline Chalet where you can get underneath the shade and be close to everything, and you are up front for everything that is going on. So, boy, it does not get any better than that. So.
Andy, I know this is a family function. Why don't you talk a little bit about the hot dogs and for the kids, and what else can the kids see and do?
The kids have a great time out here. I've been bringing my kids for the last 10 years almost. This is the 10th anniversary. They're 15 and 13 now, and they just love it. They're coming out in a few more minutes. They have some rides for the kids. All these airplanes, not all of them, but the vast majority are open, and for a dollar or two contribution, your kid can wander through these old, beautiful aircraft and really relive the history. And scattered all over the place are these battle reenactors. And these guys are just super to talk to. They explain everything. And, boy, you walk away from here, you and your kids, with such a sense of history and patriotism. And, boy, I tell you, you just don't feel any better when you're walking out of here at 5 o'clock. It is just...
Andy, is there any charge for the reenactment to watch that?
Nope, they just scatter around and they love to answer questions. You walk up and you say, "What's this?" or "What did you do?" And you better watch out because these guys will give you a 20-minute explanation because they just love to tell you about everything.
And they are in character, isn't that right?
They are all suited up. You would think you just walked through a time warp back to 1942, 43, 44. They are in full costume or uniform, excuse me. And on top of this, we're going to have, I think, about 20 World War II paratroopers that are going to suit up. And we've all seen the footage of Eisenhower.
I had to say that. Go ahead. Well, I know. I had to say that.
So we can all be
101st.
We can all be Eisenhower expecting the paratroopers before they make their big jump, and these guys are going to actually load on to, I believe, two C-47s and two sticks of 10s and paratroop out over the airfield in full view of all of us. I believe that happens at about 2:30 also. So there's something for everybody here.
Will you be able to watch these paratroopers suit up and all that good?
If you're in the out where they're at in the air park area, yes, you will be able to walk up and stand right there and watch them suit up, and I would imagine probably even ask them a lot of questions about what they're actually getting into and what kind of gear they're carrying, and what do they do when they get on the ground. They'll be able to answer all these questions for you, and not only will they really enjoy it too. That's why they're here.
Well, I know I had a chance yesterday to watch some of the planes, the P-47s, that will be part of the reenactment, the B-17 itself. Will you be able to take any tours of the B-17, maybe take a look inside, or the B-25 or the B-24?
Well, not only can you get in a lot of these planes, like I mentioned, but the Yankee Air Museum's Yankee Lady, which is the B-17, and the Yankee Warrior, which is the B-25, are giving what they call flex rides all day today and all day tomorrow. And for a fee, I believe it's $425 for the B-17 and $400 for the B-25. Let me tell you, this is the memory of a lifetime. You go for about a 30-minute ride, and it is spectacular. Bob, you were on one yesterday. Why don't you just kind of give a little of your feeling?
I've been thinking about what word or words would be to describe that. That feeling of being up. I've looked at the B-17 for so long on the History Channel, and to actually be in one, and to hear those engines roar, and the way that the it was so smooth. I was very surprised how smooth it was. It was very, very smooth, and it was so exciting. Absolutely. Got a chance to go into the nose, spend a few minutes with the pilot, look at the Bombay area, look at the back and the tail, look at the side gunners. It was really something.
Hey, Bob.
I want to thank you, Andy. Thank you again for telling me all about that yesterday and helping Veterans Radio to be on that show. Now, I know this is a picture taken day, right? Bring the camera,
Absolutely. Do not forget to bring your camera today. You get up close to these aircraft.
Hey, Bob.
You know if they sell film here?
Bob and Andy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Bob, like you said, the clock doesn't stop, doesn't lie. We're going to be coming back to you a little bit later. Where are you going to be at out there? Are you going to be wandering around and gathering up people to talk to?
I've got a surprise guest right now from the Yankee Air Museum, and I'll tell you all about that when you folks come back to me.
Okay.
We'll be standing by.
And right now we're going to welcome some troops home. Is that right, Dale?
All right, can I hang up now?
No.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Our military veterans come from all walks of life, from truckers to farmers to doctors to teachers to brothers and sisters. We all know someone that has served in our military. And our communities are comprised of veterans, and our veterans are our communities. And their blood and sacrifice is the foundation on which our country was built. They have borne the battle, and they proudly wear the scars of war. Recent revelations in the news have revealed an unacceptable picture of the way our government treats our veterans. We have a moral and ethical obligation to our veterans to ensure they receive quality and accessible health care. Sadly, we have fallen short of this goal. And this is Willie Nelson asking everyone across the nation to unite for the common good of our veteran population. Together, we can do so much better.
www.offe2008.org.
How many of you are suffering from some kind of chronic pain? If you are, then you're just one of millions of people our age who just live with it. I strongly suggest that you give Quantum Physical Therapy a call at 734-483-9200. Quantum Physical Therapy is a multifaceted facility providing cutting-edge conventional and alternative rehabilitation services. The highly qualified and friendly staff at Quantum are the movement experts and are committed to coming up with a specific solution for your specific problem. Whether it's pain, weakness, swelling, nerve injury, amputation, disease, or age-related morbidity, they can help you lead a productive life. Quantum Physical Therapy has two locations, one at 5417 Whitaker Road in Ypsilanti, and the other at 6180 Michigan Avenue in Saline. That's Quantum Physical Therapy, 734-483-9200, or on the web at www.qptherapy.com.
An investor recently said, "This is the best real estate market I've ever seen." At Sperry Van Mess Lilly & Associates, we've seen tough markets in the past and know you can benefit from them. We don't see tough, we see opportunity. We know the quickest way for buyers to achieve wealth is created in a buyer's market, and this is the best market we've seen for buyers in decades. We'll help you select, analyze, finance solid real estate investments. That's why Sperry Van Mess brokers are known as real estate advisors. Call Sperry Van Mess Lilly & Associates for a professional discussion about your investment goals. We'll locate properties we believe best fit you, then you decide if you agree. Call 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Visit our website, svnlillie.com. You had me ducking there. I thought that jet was coming right over our heads. Dale, you've told us about monitoring five radios when you were flying your helicopters over in Vietnam. How did you do it? I was just trying to monitor, too, at the opening segment. Nope. Nobody else was hearing what I was hearing, I hope. Well, no, I know they weren't. As it turned out, Dennis Norton is in here in the studio with us. Dennis Norton is the president of the Michigan Aerospace Foundation. Dennis was a pilot himself, and he's the one that came up for the solution for me to get rid of the other station in my earphones. Dennis, welcome to Veterans Radio. Tell us what's going on today with you.
Well, thanks, Gary. I'm
I'm very happy to be here on this day that's really so important to the Yankee Air Museum. We do
these shows in one form or another every year. We had a major air show last year, and this is our regular Thunder Over Michigan show today. We get a lot of great publicity out of this show, but even more than that, this is our mission. The Yankee Air Force was formed in 1981 to preserve the kind of history we're showing today out at the airport.
Dennis, who formed the Yankee Air Force?
I formed the Yankee Air Force, Gary.
And thank you.
I had the idea in 1980, spent about a year and a half working on the idea. Originally, it was just to try and bring a B-24 back to Willowrun Airport. As you know, the B-24s were built at Willowrun.
Yeah, about 8,400 of them, if I remember correctly.
8,700, I think, yeah.
Okay.
And it was a major part of the arsenal of democracy. So Willowrun played a very important role, not only in the history of southeastern Michigan during that time, but also for the whole World War II effort. So we had this idea to try and bring a B-24 back, and as some of the listeners may know, those that are generally older than I am, there was a B-24 that I remember as a kid in the early 50s out on Michigan Avenue. It was set up there to be a monument or memorial to the B-24s and the air crews that lost their lives in World War II flying the B-24s that were built at Willowrun. But that aircraft disappeared. It was scrapped about the mid-1950s because at that point in time, you have to understand the emotions mentality of the people. They did not want any more wars, and they'd just been through the Korean War, which happened just a short period after the World War II. So the aircraft was scrapped, and in 1980, we had the idea to try and bring one back.
How did you find it?
No, we didn't. We never found a B-24. What we found, there were only four B-24s that were built at Willowrun still in existence. All of those were in museums, and we could not get a hold of them. What we did bring back was a B-17. Which was the
They were
the other,
almost as rare, weren't they?
At the time, they were, yes. There were a few of those flying generally in support roles for firebombing missions out in the western part of the United States. We found one in 1984, I believe it was, brought it back. We flew it back on a ferry flight and spent 10 years restoring it. 10 years we had that airplane on the ground before it flew again. It is now considered to be the best B-17 anywhere in the world that is flying today, and there are only 11 of them flying. So it's quite a rare aircraft, and we did bring that back, and we started forming the museum around that, plus a C-47 aircraft from World War II that we had purchased just a few years before that.
Now, the C-47, that was the plane that flew the hump over in Burma, and it was the one that the paratroopers jumped from at D-Day.
That is correct. And in fact, as Andy said a few minutes ago, we're going to be jumping some paratroopers out of a C-47 over the show today.
All you old paratroopers, get on out there.
That's right. Everybody knows the C-47. It was the workhorse of the war. Carried jeeps, paratroops, food, anything they needed to be carried anywhere in the world.
Berlin Airlift, they flew a lot of them. They flew
yes,
the four engine one, but they flew the C-47 a lot too, didn't they?
You're absolutely right, Gary. The C-47 initially was the backbone of the Berlin Airlift until they brought in the larger four engine aircraft.
Right. What other things are we going to see out there?
There are, as Andy said, there are a lot of aircraft on display. There's going to be a lot of flight demonstrations. The Air Force brings in their Eagle Squadron, their flight demonstration team, and an F-16, and that is really something to see.
I would love to see that.
This year, we've had a lot of questions. We don't have the Blue Angels this year. We only have the jet team every couple of years. So this is what we call our Thunder Over Michigan show, which is really aimed at the history, the World War II history, the military, showing off what we do today, what we did 50, 60 years ago. It's really historical aviation
showing off
show
the military
today.
That's correct. As is properly so. How many other planes? What is your next big project? What would you like to have if you had your wish list?
Well, obviously, we always would like to find a B-24 and bring it back because there were 8,700 of them built here. But that's down on the list simply because there are so few of them around.
Let me ask you a question. Lake Michigan is where a lot of the carrier pilots did their qualifying. on the old paddle wheel aircraft carriers.
The Wolverine and the Sable.
Correct. There you go. And the Lake Michigan is bottom is, I use the term littered, but there's scores of World War II aircraft down there waiting to be picked up. Do you have your eye on any of those?
Not specifically. There are some salvage groups that try and recover those aircraft. When you recover them, there's always the question of who owns them. Most of those were naval aircraft that flew off those carriers as trainers that went down. And there's some in Lake Erie, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
well,
off
Gros Isle. They flew out of Gros Isle, right.
Out of Gros Isle.
As a kid seeing them.
But the question is who owns them.
Okay, we're going to go back to Bob and Andy over there at the Yankee Air Museum and the Chrysler Jeep Thunderstores Thunder Over Michigan. Bob, who do you have over there with you?
Well, thanks, Gary. I'm back. Again, it's a beautiful. But I have to tell all you folks, come on out here to Willow Run Airport today and tomorrow. It's going to be beautiful. Don't forget to bring the family and the cameras. I have with me, sitting here on, we'll just say, the Mark, would this be the tarmac? Is this tarmac or is it just asphalt?
Ramp.
Oh, okay. It also is Willow Run, which is where they made the B-24s. I'm right in front of one of those hangar doors right now as we speak out here in the sunshine. And again, like I said, I have Mark Ernst, the Development Committee Chair for the Yankee Air Museum, affectionately known as YAM. He's been involved with the Yankee Air Museum since 2005. He's an aviation and history buff and very passionate about the story he's about to share. Mark?
Well, good morning, Bob, and good morning to all your listeners. And first of all, on behalf of Yankee Air Museum and the Michigan Aerospace Foundation, all of us want to thank both your listeners who are veterans, and we want to thank the active and reserve service folks that are doing their duty today, because that's what our organization and this air show is all about. It's all about a salute to the people that make sure that we have the freedom to do the kind of things that we love to do. So thank you all. I'd also like to say hello to my buddy Ian at the New Zealand Aviation Museum, if he's listening. So good morning, Ian. Well, Bob, you asked me to talk a little bit about the Yankee Air Museum. As Dennis Norton said earlier, Yankee Air Museum was founded in 1981. It's always been a wonderful museum full of fantastic historic artifacts, relics, documents. We started out, as Dennis mentioned earlier, with four flyable aircraft. We have a B-17G, which is just a beautiful, beautiful, in fact, Dennis said it's the nicest example of a flying B-17 today.
You know, somebody said, Mark, I just want to just take a second here. I was talking to one of the pilots, and I want to just reiterate that. At the dinner, he said, rivet for rivet, the B-17 was the greatest aircraft ever built.
Well, and it's funny because I'm sure the listeners would agree. If you're a B-17 pilot, it was the greatest aircraft ever built. If you're a B-25 pilot, that's the greatest aircraft ever built. And so on and so forth. But our B-25 is a D model, and what's very unique about it is it's the only flying D model in the world that was also in a theater of combat. It was based over in Corsica, I believe. It did about 8 missions over there, and if you come out to the air show today, you can see the bullet hole patches in that plane, as well as riding in it. So it's very exciting. We have a C-47, which is the cargo and troop transport carrier, probably made most famous in the movie Band of Brothers during the drop over Normandy. And then we also have a Stinson Valiant, and that plane was built in 1943, I believe. And interestingly enough, that aircraft was built here in Wayne, Michigan. Wayne and Northville were the home to Stinson Aircraft in the 20s through the late 20s when it was finally sold. Now, Yankee was housed in a hangar built in World War II, so it was all wood. Unfortunately, there was a fire in October of 2004. And that fire completely destroyed our museum, artifacts, documents, flight jackets, you name it. It all went up in flames except for our four flyable aircraft. Now, a lot of people do characterize that as a tragedy, and certainly it was a horrible loss. But a lot of us here feel like that we are the phoenix. We're going to rise from the ashes, and we're going to be even more beautiful. Our museum celebrates not only the millions of American men and women who donned a uniform and fought in World War II, but we celebrate the 120 million American men, women, and children who also sacrificed here on the home front. So if you planted a victory garden, or one of your relatives did, or they participated in a rubber drive, or they bought war bonds, or they hung a bumper on a Chrysler vehicle that was being manufactured for the military, these are the people that we are also celebrating at Yankee Air Museum.
Mark, this is Gary Lilly here, back in WDEO Ave Maria's studios. You talked about the people on the home front. We had a Rosie the Riveter on several years ago for Labor Day, and it was amazing how much this country was involved in that World War II. And I remember it as a kid with the rubber drives and the tin drives and the ration stamps and everything else. So it's very appropriate that you are remembering them.
Well, and in fact, Rosie the Riveter, and unfortunately, you're going to catch me at a loss. I cannot remember her name, but she was from Willow Run. She was a resident of Ypsilanti, and she was actually from Willow Run. And I'll share a quick story that my wife tells me. She knows I'm passionate about flying and the airplanes out here, and she loves to see me having fun. But she really enjoys the fact that she can celebrate her great-grandmother, her grandmother, some aunts and uncles who all participated in World War II. And that was on the home front. Now, when we rebuild this museum, we're going to be more than just an aviation museum with airplanes. One of the cornerstones of our mission is blending the history with educational programming. Our country needs the Yankee Air Museum. Our educational system needs the Yankee Air Museum's help. We can't rely on public education to do what in the past families did in raising their kids. So we're excited about our educational programming.
Can teachers bring students out there, Matt? Mark?
Well, we do have programming available for students today. In fact, we just recently hired a full-time paid education coordinator, so that's exciting news. And the first phase of our rebuilding is complete. We have a 1939 schoolhouse that had been destroyed by fire, oddly and coincidentally enough, and it was restored by Henry Ford. And we had that schoolhouse donated, and last April we planted it on its new foundation over at our new campus area. And our hope is that this fall, educational programming will be up and running full-time in that schoolhouse. So very exciting news.
Thanks, Mark. As Bob Gould likes to say, the clock doesn't lie. We're running out of time in this segment.
Well, we're going to be standing by in case you want to go to us right after the break.
What do you have coming up after that, Bob?
Well, we're working.
Okay.
If I could just mention, though, I want to make sure your listeners, if they want to find out more about Yankee Air Museum, they can go on our website, and that website is www.yankeeairmuseum.org. So if anyone has any questions, interest, or inquiry, feel free to go on our website, and you can even contact me directly through that.
That's great. Mark Ernst, the Yankee Air Museum Development Committee Chair. Thank you for being on Veterans Radio, and good luck to you.
We're still going to stand by here, though, Gary, so you might want to think about that.
Well, we will think about that. I think you're giving me a signal that you want to stay on there with Mark, I guess.
You got it, yeah.
Okay, good. Dale, what kind of comments might you have on what's going on?
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. First Lieutenant Lloyd Burke killed more than 100 North Korean soldiers in a one-man assault on their positions.
Details after this.
College isn't cheap. In fact, it can be downright expensive. But the Air Force has a way for you to get that college education. If you attend classes while on active duty, we'll pay up to 100% of your tuition. And you could have more than $35,000 for school waiting for you through the GI Bill. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on to airforce.com. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force and this station.
Intense enemy fire had pinned down leading elements of his company, committed to secure commanding ground, when Burke left the command post to rally and urged the men to follow him toward three bunkers, impeding the advance. Dashing to an exposed vantage position, he threw several grenades at the bunkers. Then returning for an M1 rifle and adapter, he made a lone assault, wiping out the position and killing the crew. Closing on the center bunker, he lobbed grenades through the opening and, with his pistol, killed three of its occupants attempting to surround him. Ordering his men forward, he charged the third emplacement, catching several grenades in midair and hurling them back at the enemy. Inspired by his display of valor, his men stormed forward, overran the hostile position, but were again pinned down by increased fire. Securing a light machine gun and three boxes of ammunition, Burke dashed through the impact area to an open knoll, set up his gun, and poured a crippling fire into the ranks of the enemy, killing approximately 75. Although wounded, he ordered more ammunition, reloading and destroying two mortar emplacements and a machine gun position with his accurate fire. Cradling the weapon in his arms, he then led his men forward, killing some 25 more of the retreating enemy and securing the objective. Burke's heroic action and daring exploits inspired his small force of 35 troops.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313.
Pat the Handyman and his team is ready to help you with your remodeling, repair, and painting projects. Call Pat the Handyman at 734-260-1158. That's 260-1158. Pat the Handyman is a veteran-owned business.
You get to the top, get hooked in, and then you look over the edge. I was like, no way am I jumping off this tower. I'm staying right here. I'm like, am I ever going to be good enough to be a Marine? When it was all said and done, watching the car guard raise the American flag, I thought, I am a United States Marine.
PFC Keith Palka knows you don't join the Marines, you become one. Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and sitting in the studio with me is Dennis Norton. You're the fundraiser for the Yankee Air Museum, is that correct?
Well, in a sense, yes. We've formed the Michigan Aerospace Foundation. I'm the president of the foundation now. I've moved over to the fundraising so we can rebuild the museum that we lost in 2004. I'm sorry. The Michigan Aerospace Foundation was formed a few years ago, actually to expand the museum before the fire. And then when we had the fire, we reorganized ourselves and took a little different aim, mostly at getting the museum back on its feet. So We are in the process. We don't do the types of fundraising that the museum itself does for operational funding. We actually are trying to raise millions and millions of dollars to rebuild the museum. We've passed $5.5 million in fundraising so far on the foundation side, and all this is for buildings. This does not involve operations, although okay. We do have an endowment fund right now through the Community Foundation of Southeastern Michigan, and certainly I would encourage people to contribute to that also, right, because that will eventually fund operations for the museum.
I want to ask you, what is the largest and what is the smallest donation you've had?
The smallest donation we've had on the foundation side, and I'm somewhat guessing that at this, but I know we've had a few donations under $10.
So anybody can give.
Anybody. It all helps.
You don't have to be a rich person to give. You just have to be a generous person that loves aviation. Correct?
That is correct. And I need to also mention our largest donation to date. We've had, three or four donations that were above $100,000, and the highest one was $2 million from the General Motors Foundation. So there's a lot of, and we just received another fairly major award from DTE Foundation. I'm not at liberty yet to talk about that.
Okay.
But we do have major grants coming in.
Maybe you can tell us about that in the future sometime. As you get these nice donations, give us a progress report. Right now, we're going back to Bob Gould. He's out there at the Yankee Air Museum out on the tarmac. Bob, who do you have with you?
Well, I'm out here, and I'm still with Mark, the development director here at the Yankee Air Museum.
Hi, Mark.
We've been trying to locate a couple of pilots. Unfortunately, little did we know there's going to be a pilot briefing at 9 o'clock, but we're still working on it, so you may get a phone call in the next few minutes. But what I wanted to talk with Mark a little further about, a lot of these museums, these air shows, work on volunteers. What about volunteers, Mark? How can somebody get involved?
Well, first of all you need to do to get involved is come out and see us. The best way to support the museum and get involved is to simply become a member. And our membership runs $60 for an individual, and we do have other higher valued memberships if you're interested in making that kind of contribution. We have about 3,000 members throughout the world. And our membership, as I said, is global. It's not limited to just southeastern Michigan. As far as volunteering, all you have to do is come out and express an interest, and we will find a place for you to contribute here. There are about 400 volunteers that make this place tick on a weekly basis. So there's a place for you, whether it's flying in the airplane or rebuilding airplanes or just helping with some of the business operations. We're always welcome to have you.
So what you're saying is you might even get a ride in an airplane every now and then. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I crew on our B-25, and I will be honest, you know, you do have to pay some dues to get that privilege, but I've flown two, three air shows this year so far. So I get to spend about 10 hours a summer on our B-25 or our B-17.
Well, Andy, you got a little something to add.
Well, I'd just like to throw in there that, and I'm embarrassed to say this now, Bob, and certainly to you, Mark, but I'm not even a member yet, but I'm going to join up, but I have a service that my business can provide, so even if you have a business and you probably can do something for them to help out, we can all do something. I'm a printer. I print some stuff for these guys. There's many businesses out there that can donate and help with many, many
things. So they can make another contribution. They can make
a contribution.
Excellent.
So it's the way to do it, and you really feel good about doing it. My feet are barely touching the ground now. What can I tell you?
Hey, Andy, this is Gary here. Did you guys print the program over at Inland Press?
Yes, we did. Inland Press did print the program for
Beautiful.
The year show, as we've done for the last 10 years. And Inland Press, we've been in business for over 110 years in the Detroit area, and we're very community-minded, and this is just one of the many things we do to help out, and we believe in history and heritage. I've been in Ann Arbor for 5 generations, and this is just all a big part of me, so everybody can do it.
Mark, do you have corporate sponsors, too? You have corporate sponsorship?
Yes, we do. In fact, as Dennis said a few minutes ago, General Motors Foundation is our largest single contributor thus far with $2 million. And as Andy mentioned, I don't want to undervalue his contribution. He says he does a little bit of printing for us. The Inland Press does anything every time we need it. And these programs alone are far, far in excess of $10,000. So, you know, don't minimize your contribution here, Andy.
So we don't like to talk dollars and cents too much. But, yes, we do our part, and everybody else can do so likewise.
Let me jump in here, guys. Let's get back to that corporate sponsor. I bet they're not all as big as General Motors. You probably got a lot of little tool and die shops, people that are involved maybe in the aviation industry or our history, aviation history buff. So you would welcome that, too, as corporate sponsors.
Absolutely. In fact, we have some companies that are still around today who participated in the arsenal of democracy during World War II, and they don't have to necessarily donate any specific item. They can sponsor an airplane. They can buy the fuel for the airplane for a season. They can help us to acquire other historical aircraft for restoration. There's no limit to what a corporate sponsor can do to help this museum rebuild.
Why don't you very quickly give that contact information?
Again, if anybody's interested in information about Yankee Air Museum, you can go on our website at www.yankeeairmuseum.org. Feel free to call anytime. In fact, I'm in my office here at the museum on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you can ask for Mark Ernst. If you get my voicemail, I'll return your call immediately.
Hey, Bob, Gary again. What do you? We were talking about the fundraising. What are the people going to see this today if they come out? What do you have coming up next? When does it all start?
My gosh, what don't we have? We've got P-47s, we've got B-25s, we've got B-17s, we have A-10 Warthogs, F-16s, F-18s. We have DC-6s, DC-3s. There's going to be a German ME-109 Messerschmitt taking part in the battle reenactment today. We have Sherman tanks, we have Patton tanks, and we've got fun for the family.
Hey, Andy, don't I understand that you're hoping to have a World War I dogfight there?
Also a World War I dogfight with, I think, 4 World War I era biplanes that are going to go up and tangle in the skies above us. And also, I wanted to throw in there real quick, talking about the air show and corporate sponsorship, again, as you've mentioned, thank God to Chrysler Jeep Superstores for bringing us this wonderful weekend. There's another huge corporate sponsor that's doing their part. So they're all over the place. All you got to do is get in line, and you can be one, too. So, but, yes, there is that World War I.
What type of planes, Andy?
Battle.
What kind of planes?
The planes in that, Mark, help me out. What do we got? I'm not a World War I guy. I should have a list someplace.
Well, right? I'd be winging it, but I believe we're going to have a couple
of Fokkers. I'd say the
Fokkers.
German Fokkers, and then the, oh, boy, you really got me on this one, Gary. Thanks.
I believe there's going to be a
Fokkers, and is it the Spads or the other one? So I believe that's your assortment of World War I aircraft.
When we get back in the next segment, we're going to talk about a Spad that's being built out there. I'll be talking to Dennis Norton about that.
And, again, just to reiterate, World War I all the way to modern-day jets. So it is across the gauntlet of aircraft here. If you're specific into World War I, got it covered. World War II, got it covered. All the way up into the military, modern jets, got it covered. So if you like airplanes any kind, they got them here for you. What more needs to be said on that? It's just all here.
Thanks, guys. We're going to be going to another break in about less than a minute. Dale, what's going on back over there in the control room? Keeping you busy, or do you have something you wanted to say? No helicopters out there, Dale?
I didn't know that. For some,
well, we're going back, going on to a break. As I said, we're going to be coming right back and talking more about the Chrysler Jeep Superstore Thunder Over Michigan show at Willow Run Airport. We'll be right back. An investor recently said, "This is the best real estate market I've ever seen." At Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates, We've seen tough markets in the past and know you can benefit from them. We don't see tough, we see opportunity. We know the quickest way for buyers to achieve wealth is created in a buyer's market, and this is the best market we've seen for buyers in decades. We'll help you select, analyze, finance solid real estate investments. That's why Sperry Van Ness brokers are known as real estate advisors. Call Sperry Van Ness Lillian Associates for a professional discussion about your investment goals. We'll locate properties we believe best fit you, then you decide if you agree. Call 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Visit our website, svnlillie.com.
Len Pitlack, CPA, is an award-winning consultant for the U.S. Small Business Development Center. Let him use his 25 years' experience to bring you, as an individual or small business owner, his professional and courteous tax and accounting services. Give Len Pitlack a call today at 734-993-1313.
Pat the Handyman and his team is ready to help you with your remodeling, repair, and painting projects. Call Pat the Handyman at 734-260-1158. That's 260-1158. Pat the Handyman is a veteran-owned business.
The first job you choose in life could make or break your future. Making that decision takes facts. Here's a fact. The U.S. Air Force offers valuable training, higher education, medical care, and experience. So when it's time to choose your career, check out the Air Force. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on at airforce.com. Cross into the blue with the U.S. Air Force. No one comes close.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio. We're talking about the Chrysler Jeep Superstore Thunder Over Michigan show that's going on right now out at the Willow Run Airport at historic Willow Run Airport at the Yankee Air Museum. Sitting in the booth with me is Dennis Norton. We're going to get right back with Dennis. He's the you're the chair of the fundraising. I won't ask what the committee is. You can tell us again. But right now, Bob, you and Mark Ernst are out there still on the tarmac, are you?
Yes, we are. I just wanted to take a couple more really quick minutes to wrap a few things up. About that volunteerism, Mark, I'm sure there's a lot of airplanes to be GI'd, right? You all know what that means, of course. He's got a smile on his face. So you can even have a family working on this, right?
Hey, we have an event in the spring called the Polishing Party.
Ah.
We have everybody come out with their kids, their grandkids. We've got little tiny tots polishing propellers. That's when we get our planes ready for the flying season. We serve pizza. You get pictures in the cockpit of the planes. So being a volunteer has its benefits.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I love it. Well, you got a chance to work on the airplanes themselves if you are a member and you can be a volunteer. One last thing that I want to talk to Mark about, he wants to give a salute to someone that flies a P-51 Mustang, the Old Crow. Why don't you tell us about that, Mark?
Well, first of all, we want to give a huge salute and a thank you to Jack Roush and Roush Industries. Some of you may be familiar with Jack from his NASCAR, but his passion are his two P-51 Mustangs. And I have to tell you, if you are a Mustang buff, you have got to come out and see Jack's P-51B. You've got to get out here and see this aircraft, because unlike most Mustangs that you see at air shows, this is an earlier model with the Malcolm bubble on it. So this is a piece of history that you just don't want to miss.
Can you have your picture taken next to this?
Oh, yeah. If Jack's got it out on the tarmac or the ramp there, you come and you get a picture with Jack Roush's P-51B.
Ooh. What? And what else? The B-17, of course.
Well,
take all the pictures, right?
As you said earlier, you come on out, you can get a picture in front of every aircraft here, including our World War I aircrafts. We're going to have a Sopwith Camel. We're going to have a Newport 28 and a couple Fokkers. Those are World War I aircraft. And then, as I said, everything from T-6 Texan trainers up to the P-51s.
Well, that sounds like about it from this end, guys. I want to thank Andy. Andy?
And I want to thank all you people. And remember, not only today, it is tomorrow also. I realize if you're listening to the radio, this is short notice, so plan on doing it tomorrow. Either day is great for the Yankee Air Museum.
And Mark?
Bob, thanks a lot. And again, I just want to thank all your listeners and the troops overseas. And if there's any veterans out there or anyone who feels as passionate about the Yankee Air Museum as we do, please get a hold of us. And again, that website is www.yankeeairmuseum.org.
Okay, this is Bob Gould right out here at Willow Run Airport. I'm going to throw it back to you guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. And from now on, try to show a little bit of enthusiasm, will you? We had breakfast this morning talking over the show, and you took that B-17 ride yesterday, and you were still up there about 3,500 feet.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
Thanks again, Bob.
Okay,
we're back in WDEO studios. We're sitting with Dennis Norton, who's the president of the Michigan Aerospace Foundation. You're the guy that gathers up all the money to keep these things going. Tell us about a project that's going on out there right now about a World War I airplane. It's a SPAD, is it?
This is a fascinating project, Gary, yes. And to digress just for a minute here, one of the reasons we started, or one of the main precepts for the Yankee Air Museum when we started it back in 1981, was to be a hands-on museum. And a lot of the things that you heard Mark talk about are evident of that. This is something where people can get involved. And a number of guys a few years ago started thinking about this idea of building a World War I SPAD biplane. And there may be one at the airport today people can see. But I would encourage them to come out to the museum sometime and take a look at it in the hangar. These guys are building from scratch using as much of the original techniques and materials as possible a true World War I SPAD biplane.
Now, that's the kind of a plane that could get through a metal detector undetected.
That's exactly right. It's all spruce, and they've got aviation-grade spruce and all the original materials. I expect
canvas.
That we'll... Pardon? Yes.
Canvas for
that's
the
correct.
Cover glued on?
That is correct, right.
Easy to patch those bullet holes.
That's correct. They go right through them.
Right.
But we hope the airplane we done, the latest I've heard, is going to take about 3 more years. The interesting thing about this project is this will be a flyable aircraft. It's not being built just to sit in a museum. It will certainly be a major part of the museum and a big attraction, but it is built to be flyable, and it will fly when it's done. So this is some of the things that people can get involved with the Yankee Air Museum, this hands-on idea of keeping all this history alive and restoring it and rebuilding it, whatever we need to do.
And they got the blueprints from the museum, is that correct?
Oh, we have all original, I have original plans and blueprints for these airplanes,
that's
or
tremendous.
This airplane, and it's all being built, original specs. It will be flyable, yes.
And the SPAD is the airplane that, when America went into World War I, we didn't have any fighter aircraft. We didn't have anything. The SPAD was a French plane, and
that's correct.
Eddie Rickenbacker flew a SPAD. Hat in the Ring Squadron was out at Selfridge Air Base for many decades. Wasn't
you
it?
Know your history, Gary.
Oh, a little bit. I like military history also. So that's going to be done in about 4 years. What are some of the other projects that are going on out there at the Yankee Air Museum that people can get involved with?
Well, as Mark said, they're just an endless number of things they can be involved with. The museum itself and the collection of artifacts. We lost all of the artifacts in the fire in 1984. We lost some fascinating things that we are irreplaceable. We can't replace them. But one of the things that came out of that is people started looking through their basements and replacing all these materials for us. We've had donations and donations and donations since 1984. And even though there's some things we lost, we will never replace, we've had donations of some artifacts that we never would have had not that happened. That's kind of a bad way to get it, but it did happen.
But and for you people out there that had a relative serving in any war or any era, especially Air Force or anything to do with the flying military, don't throw those things away. Oh, it's only an old patch. It's only some old medals, or it's an old uniform, or some old documents, whatever. Call up the Yankee Air Museum. See if they need it. Email them. Is that right?
That is exactly right. You may have something in your basement that is a one-of-a-kind artifact, and we would love to see what they are.
Oh, a friend of mine's uncle died, and he went down there, and he told me later on about all these old uniforms and patches and medals and everything, and he said, what good are they? They threw them all in the trash, and I thought, oh, no. Well, for one thing, you can sell them on eBay, but for the other thing, as you said, they might be irreplaceable. The Sante raid over in North Vietnam, where they went in to get the pilots, the prisoners from the Sante prison, I came across a Sante patch at a yard sale down in Indiana, and I bought it, and I thought, geez. Well, I scanned it and emailed it to them, and they said, no, it's not an original. Here's why the threads ought to be this way. But they said, we don't have a reproduction of that quality. And so it sits there in the Sante Museum right now. But who would have known? I mean, I just took a hunch on that.
Well, that's another good point. I would certainly encourage people not only to look through their own basements, but so many people are on the Internet nowadays. If you see something on eBay or someplace like that that looks like it might be fascinating for us to take a look at for the museum, let us know about it, or buy it yourself and donate it
that's
to the museum.
Way. Right. Keep your eyes open, folks. What are the kind of projects? What would you like to talk about? We're counting. I just looked at the clock, Dale. We're almost out of time. This show goes by so fast. It's so exciting. And next week, we're going to be talking to Jack Galloway, who is the co-author of We Were Soldiers Once and Young, and they've got a new book out, We're Still Soldiers, he and General Moore. So tune in next week when you to Veterans Radio and listen to Jack Galloway. Right now, we want to thank our sponsors. We want to thank the Marine Scholar Fund. Get on the line and tell all those Marines and Iraq veterans that their education can be paid for. Schrader Yacht Sales. Don't just ask them to deliver it. Ask them to tell you a story about Dale when they flew together. That'll be the good one. Sperry Van Ness, Lilly and Associates, that's me. And I've always wanted to say that, and I do every week now. So thanks for listening to Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.
Schrader Yacht Sales, the East Coast's finest dealer of Chris Craft, Island Packet Yachts, Packet Craft, Parker Fishing Boats, and Nautic Star Boats. Schrader Yachts is located at the top of Barnicot Bay in Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Our good friend Ray Schrader provides you, the customer, with over 30 years' experience in boat sales, sail and power boats, both new and used. Schrader Yacht Sales offers a full-service storage facility and a reliable crew responsible for all of your boating needs. Specialists in electronics, they can accommodate your needs for radar, autopilot, air conditioning, GPS, heat, and communications. Give Ray a call at 732-899-8010. That's 732-899-8010, or go to SchraderYachts.com. That's SchraderYachts.com. Oh, by the way, tell Ray you heard about him on Veterans Radio, and he will personally deliver your new boat from Schrader Yachts anywhere there's water. Schrader Yachts, ready to serve all of your boating needs.